really.
So you missed everything's happening, didn't you?
Yeah, for the most part.
Oh, man. You're in for it.
You're in for a lot on the Side Quest, July 3rd edition. The pre-Independence Day in America, but nowhere else.
Post-Canada Day.
Canada Day was first.
July 1st.
Yeah. Happy Canada
Actually,
Day.
Actually, just give me 1 second. I'm just going to wheel my rolly chair away. I have to find something. I don't know where it is.
So,
fuck, where did it go? Go on without me. I have to find this.
It's
going to
be a Tim Hortons cup.
It's very important. Go on without me.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Dolly Domofsky, coming to you live from a basement in a house. Not my house anymore. But also joining me, not in a basement. Maybe. I'm not sure. I can't tell because his camera's not on. Sam Dixon.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
There's a hat. And that would be Aaron Canada Man Kelly.
I got this at Walmart for $9.
That's amazing. That's the Canada version of the MAGA hat.
That's why I bought it, because on my profile picture, it kind of looks like that, and I've just been spending my time on Twitter trolling all those alt-right dipshits. And then they like my posts, because they see the color of the hat, and they're like, oh yeah, he's one of us, and they don't realize I'm ripping on like the dude they're all defending.
That's amazing. How you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Sam, what's going on? I cut you off.
Good. Hey, yeah, I'm upset more that Dally ruined my bit. I was going to say that one of us was broadcasting from our parents' basement, and it's not the one you'd expect.
That's correct. I'm broadcasting from my mother-in-law's basement, where I'm being held captive. Please help. I don't have a house anymore. I think the last time I recorded was – I was still a homeowner. Let me rephrase that. I technically am still a homeowner because – Our house sale hasn't gone through. It was supposed to happen last Friday, but there were issues with the buyer's bank. And now we're kind of stuck in this weird limbo waiting, hoping that everything goes through so that our house is actually sold. Otherwise, it won't be a fun summer for a while. But so I'm in a basement. And it's Independence Day tomorrow in America. We call it July 4th because no other country in the world has a 4th. In July. Everybody just goes July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 5th. They skip over it like the 13th in elevators.
That sounds right. I can't dispute that. I don't know enough about calendars to dispute that.
I don't think I've ever been in another country during the 4th of July. So
Isn't the 4th of July in France a day? Isn't it like Baptiste Day or something? Bastille Day? I don't fucking know. I don't know what I'm talking about. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? We don't got a whole lot of going on today because it is like the dead of summer right now. Is there a dead of summer? There's a dead of winter. There is a dead of summer when it comes to new games and new game releases. I think a couple weeks ago was, or last week was Mario Maker was released. So I'm sure people have been playing that. And then, we don't have anything for anything major for a few weeks. So
today is July 4th is National Sidewalk Egg Frying Day.
Oh, that's good. That is news.
That must have been what I was thinking about. That's what I was thinking about when I was thinking about Bastille Day.
Oh, goodness. Let's chat about what we've been playing, and then we'll dive into some of the
you don't want to hear my health story.
Yeah, let's go to your story.
Old man health story for Sam.
We got to start with our regular health story section.
So Sam, you haven't been on in a few weeks, right?
Was I on last week? I don't even know.
No, you're
probably not.
So last week, I told a podcast about how I had woken up and my feet were swollen like three sizes too big to the point where I couldn't get shoes on anymore. And I was like, oh, this is fucked up. So I went to work the next day. We recorded on Thursday last week? I went to work Friday, and Friday is my longest shift of the week. I worked the whole shift, and 7 o'clock rolled around when my shift stops, and I was sitting there for a second and picked up my cell phone, beep, boop, boop, called up my mom, and I said, I need to go to the ER. And she said, I can drive you over. I have to be out of there by midnight, though. I said, it'll be fine. So we drive to the nearest ER because we checked online and said they were open. We get there, they're closed. Big old LED board says closed. Turns out they were closing at 2 p.m. because they don't have enough doctors, because that's how my province is. So we go to the next nearest one. We get there at about 8 o'clock. we sit there. 8:30, 8:45 rolls around. The triage nurse comes out to check for new patients, because obviously if somebody shows up and they're like, you know, stabbed or broken bones or something like that, they get bumped up the triage list and they get seen pretty much immediately. And then she does everybody else. So she takes me in to do the questionnaire, like, what medicines are you on? Blah, 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 blah. All right, show me what's up. And I'm like, all right, check this out. I pulled my socks off. She's looking at my feet, and they are probably 4 to 5 sizes too large at this point.
Oh, my Lord.
And she goes, holy shit. And I went, right? And she goes, all right, I'm going to bump you up to a triage level 3. And I said, great, because it basically starts at, I think it starts in reverse. It's like triage level 5 is like, you got the sniffles. Triage level 1 is if they don't fix you now, you're dead. So she puts me right in the middle, triage level 3. I'm like, great. So what does that mean? She goes, well, it means you're going to get in before some of the people out there, but we have a lot of people who are in critical condition already being seen right now. So you're probably looking at 2 to 3 a.m. This is at 8:45 p.m. I said, oh, yeah. Well, my mom drove me, and she has to be out of here by midnight. And she says, all right, here's what I'll do. I'll pop back out around 11 and give you an estimate. If it's going to be, you know, soon, maybe you can stick around. If not, you can just leave and go to a walk-in clinic elsewhere tomorrow morning. And if you're the first one there, you'll get seen and they can probably help you. I said, okay. So went to Walmart, bought this nice hat. Mm-hmm. Ended up sticking around. 12 o'clock rolls around. My mom says, fuck it. I'll just cancel what I had to do tomorrow. 1 o'clock rolls around, 2 o'clock rolls around, 3 o'clock rolls around. I finally get in. The ER doctor comes it through and he takes a look at my feet and runs me through a checklist. They take my blood pressure. They're giving me needles. I'm like flirting with all of the attendants the entire time, just making everybody laugh because I don't give a fuck. They're like, wow, why aren't you looking at this when they're putting the permanent stent in my arm? Cause they got to give me like IV drugs like all day. They're like, why aren't you looking? I'm like, I really don't like needles. They're like, well, your blood pressure is just basically flatline. Like, you seem totally normal. It's like, yeah, because I'm not looking at it. What are you talking about? They're like, oh, I've never thought of that.
So that happens to me all the time, too.
So the ER doctor, he goes, all right, here's the deal. My job as the night shift ER doctor is to determine what it isn't, but I'm not a specialist, so I can't really tell you what it is because it's none of the usual shit. You need the day shift doctor for that, who is the doctor that would have been on when we arrived but had then rotated off at midnight. So they're like, we got to keep you overnight. I'm like, fuck. All right. So they keep me overnight. Day shift doctor comes in. Day shift doctor is like whatever the doctor name of like a colonoscopy expert, like whatever that branch of medicine is. And he goes, hey, my name's Dr. Whatever. Here's my branch of medicine. I'm going to try and figure out what's wrong with you. And I go, do I need to have something shoved up my ass, doc? And he kind of looks at me and he goes, what? No. Why would you think that? And I go, because you just introduced yourself as that kind of doctor. And he goes, no, the guy that should be seeing you is on vacation for 2 weeks. I went, cool. So he runs me through a bunch of tests. They send me in for a CAT scan immediately. They send me in for all the shit. And he goes, at the end of it, this is now probably 3 to 4 p.m. the next day. So I've been there for 19 hours, 20 hours, something like that. He goes, all right, here's what I think it is. I think you have an autoimmune disease called sarcoidosis. And I'm like, all right. And he goes, something like 4 in 10,000 people get it. It's not hereditary. You just get it. And 3 out of those 4 people never show any symptoms. And I'm like, okay, well, my feet hurt, so what's up? And he goes, well, I can't diagnose it because it's not my specialty. Like, I'm not the type of doctor that can officially confirm it. You need a pulmonary specialist, like a lung and heart doctor. And I went, okay. And he goes, that doctor's on vacation too. And I went, okay. And he goes, but here's what's up. In Halifax, the capital, this was in Bridgewater, just another town in the province. He goes, in Halifax, one of my colleagues is a pulmonary specialist. He walks around the corner, picks up the phone because the room they were keeping him in is right next to like the nurse's station. I can hear him on the phone. He's going, hey, Emily, I think the doctor's name was he was talking to. He's like, I've got a really interesting case here. And like, as soon as he told me the diagnosis, he like lit up. Like, he's like, oh, this is interesting. Like, all of a sudden he's way into it. And I'm like, I think you're enjoying this way more than I am, man. But, so he comes back in, he goes, all right, so I'm going to send you to the city and they're going to get you in as soon as possible. And you have to have a lung biopsy. So I'm like, okay, why? And he goes, well, the layman version is the only way you can tell if this disease is this disease is that there's, everybody has these nodules in their lungs and they get inflamed. And depending on what's causing the inflammation, they can determine what the disease is. And so we got to shove a tube down your throat into your lung and cut a piece out of one of those nodules and pull it back up to figure it out. I'm like, great. He's like, so you can leave now. I can't give you anything. We'll call you and let you know. I'm like, all right, cool. So didn't hear anything, didn't hear anything, didn't hear anything. Now I'm getting voicemails from the hospital that I was at, not the one in Halifax, from, I guess, the lung doctor there who's now back early, mm-hmm. going, hey, we can get you in tomorrow. And I go, I have a job. I can't. They're like, okay, when's good for you? I'm like, next Tuesday? They're like, all right, we'll get you in. We'll rush you through. I'm like, I don't want to be rushed through for a lung biopsy, but all right. So next Tuesday, or this upcoming Tuesday, I should say, I go in for a lung biopsy to find out if I have this apparently very rare disease. And then as far as I can tell, the way you treat it is with a single run of an antibiotic called prednisone. And then so you're good. And then you're good.
A super simple antibiotic and you're done.
Yeah, which he can't prescribe to me because that's not his specialty. It's not. It's an antibiotic, so I can't get it over the counter. I could be fixed. Instead, I have giant feet. So that's been my week. What's up, Sam? How's things?
Sam, what kind of medical issues do you have?
Somebody who has had a camera with a little scraper shoved down their throat, into their stomach, mind you, not their lungs. It was the most restful day I've had in a long time. So I actually support the decision to have that tube shoved down there to find out what's wrong. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I have not had such medical woes.
Here's the best part. Let me cut back in. Here's the best part. So this disease, what it does is it targets like joints and ligaments. So it can, and like just random shit, basically. So it can target a bunch of different things, including your lungs, which can make it incredibly difficult to breathe, including your eyes, which can make you go blind, and some other stuff. And there's like three specific examples where if it targets that and the damage is significant, you're legally disabled. Like you can claim disability and all that stuff. It went after my ankles, which isn't covered. So even though the fact that I can barely walk doesn't count. So I can't even get time off work. Anyway, go ahead.
Rad.
Yeah.
Rad. well, that was a good, some sort of good outcome there.
I like to keep the people informed.
You like to keep the people inflamed is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Let's get into what we've been playing because I only have a half hour left. I'm flying out to Europe tomorrow. I'm driving into Canada from here in the States. So I've got to wake up nice and early and pack and then drive out to Tirana. So yeah, I can't stay up late. Sorry. Sorry, guys. Sorry, friends. Let's talk about what we've been playing. I can go first because I don't have a ton. I think I mentioned it before, I finally finished Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Nice.
Finished that, the story mode. I was having trouble with the final boss, and I realized you don't actually have to beat her. You just got to, like, last the time limit, and you're done. Here I was trying to defeat her in a battle and didn't do that. So that was that. Defeated it and sold that game, actually, right away. That's what I've been doing lately is as soon as I complete a game, I sell it. Just throw it on Facebook Marketplace, get rid of it. Gives me money to buy more crap. And now I am finishing up Starlink. They had all that DLC show up at the end of, I think it was end of April or beginning of May or something. That Star Fox DLC and a bunch of other stuff. So bought all that DLC, downloaded it, and I'm playing through all of that. I got through just about everything except for like one last little piece. It's only like a total of, I don't know, I want to say maybe 3 hours of extra content total. If they have the races in there, which are not very good because the controls aren't very good and the race layout, the course layouts aren't great. You are always flying off the courses in your pretty cool jet planes, your space planes. But it's okay. I don't know if I would pay the – I think the races are free, but the actual rest of the DLC with all the added missions is like $12. And I think it's a lot of money for – I think it's a few bucks more than what it should have been. But I get to pay as play as a Slippy Toad. That's always a good thing.
The greatest Star Fox character.
The greatest Star Fox character.
Peppy hair. Whoa. Let's slow down here.
I do have to say, though, that if you get this DLC, the writing for Peppy and Slippy is fantastic because Peppy straight up throws shade at other characters. And I'm like, I didn't expect Peppy to do that. Then Slippy jumps in as well and does a little bit of shade tossing. So, yeah, it's not bad. I don't think again. I don't think it's worth $11.99, but whatever. It's finishing up Starlink and putting that baby to rest, and then after that, I've got Mario Maker 2 loaded up. I've been just starting to fiddle with that guy after listening to Jeff's fantastic chat about it last week. So that's it. And mainlining. I've been playing mainlining, which is a really weird game.
I just want to say, since you mentioned Mario Maker 2, I declared earlier today. On Twitch, watching Jeff try to play one of Dan Record's levels and failing miserably, that side questing is officially aligned with Dan Record. We are on team Dan.
Team Dan. Okay, it's good. Sorry, Jeff. Fuck you. So, wow, that was horrible. That was really mean of me.
Wow.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Have you had a chance to play it at all, Sam?
Yeah, I've been messing around with it. I like it. I've been mostly sticking to the Nintendo created levels. I'm much more of a player of the levels than a creator. I'm definitely at some point going to try to make something, but haven't even loaded that side of the game at all. I think it's good. I love that Aaron mentioned earlier, I haven't really been in the Twittersphere as of late, but I did see that there was the sort of conversation over making something hard and versus like it being enjoyable, like an actual challenge that's enjoyable to figure out and a challenge that's like aggressively difficult for no reason. And that's always weird to pull for those. I'm trying to think what exactly it's the course world stuff where you can choose like, I want to play hard maps and stuff like that. Like some of those get, it's like, oh, it's rated hard. Well, it's rated hard because you know, it's, you got to know whatever, throw the shell at the thing and bounce it off and jump off at the specific time and spin on the gears or whatever. There's that difficulty. And then there's the difficulty of like, oh, figuring out a puzzle and stuff. So that stuff's kind of hit or miss, I think. And that's just, I don't think you're an algorithm of, or however they manipulate that system to figure out the difficulty of things and put them in those. I don't think that ever is going to get better, but just going through and choosing individual stages has been great so far. I need to jump on the bandwagon of downloading specific missions. And
yeah, I got to do that too. Let me get down here. Yeah, I think it's a little better, this time around. Wow. I'm like on the floor here. Holy crap. It's a little better this time around in, kind of, selecting, stuff to download, but it's definitely not, not ideal. I just want to like, I'd love to keep track of everything that, let's say, Sam puts out. So I'm just, you know, an auto download feature would be great, where I'm automatically downloading every one of Sam's courses that he creates. You'd think that would be an easy addition, but this is Nintendo that we're talking about.
Yeah, I think there's a way to follow specific creators, but it won't like auto download the missions for the levels for you.
Yeah, and then if you're looking for specific levels, instead of doing a search for a name, you have to search, you have to just type the freaking numbers in again. We got friend codes in back, but yeah, I've got a spreadsheet that I've got a sheet of paper where I'm kind of taking all the codes that I see popping up on Twitter and I'm dropping them in there. But it's good. It's definitely better than the first Mario Maker game. Obviously, it's selling way better too. But I really hope that Nintendo supports this in more than just costumes. Like, that's the way they sort of supported it the last time around. They had, like, a few light quality of life updates for the first game, but other than that, it really wasn't a lot that I recall. But in this game, I think Mario Maker 2 has the capability of having an extremely long tail, as it's like, you know, everybody's first game coding. Minecraft was that, but this is like another everybody's first game coding thing. Yeah, it's just a bummer that you still can't have your own, like, you can't link levels together into worlds. That was something that everybody wanted in that first game. So let me link like four levels together or six levels together and make a world, or let me link like eight worlds together, you know, make my own full game and see how my friends do against that. It's a bummer that that's not available yet, or if it ever will be, but it's good. It's good. It's fun. I like the even the story mode, which is just basically tutorials, is pretty well put together. So that's all I've been playing. And Sam, since we were just chatting with you, have you been playing anything besides Mario Maker?
Yeah, so I feel bad talking about moving around in Room Space VR when one of our members currently has Elephant Man feet.
Hey, don't feel bad. I can't afford a VR setup anyway. So,
well, let me tell you that I've had PlayStation VR, and that was hit or miss. It's one of those things where the experiences are finally showing up, but I just never had a good enough time where I felt like, oh, I should constantly have this set up, or I should make it super convenient for me to get things set up quickly. I don't want to say like the introduction phase to VR, but like getting VR set up can be a hassle unless you have like a space dedicated with things permanently set up there. There's the Valve Index just came out, and I've been interested in trying to get a more serious VR solution. And I was just kind of surfing because I, as most people, for absolutely no reason, will look at PC tech deals. Just because I'm bored and maybe something I want to buy shows up. And sure enough, there was one for Samsung's Odyssey Plus, which is a Windows mixed reality headset that does inside out tracking. So it has the remotes track off of the headset as opposed to base stations. Tracking supposedly isn't as good. I certainly haven't experienced any issues that I would say is a deal breaker. Sure. There's been a couple of like things, but nothing that's ruined the game or with the PlayStation VR, the headset would lose tracking sometime and that judder would, you know, make you sick if it was a certain game type. So this does room scale and I need to get a longer cable because I have definitely reached the max of it and almost ripped my PC out. Because of maneuverability, you don't think about how low the light fixtures in your house are. Haven't damaged anything yet, but I now have a carabiner set up. a very official climbing one that I definitely didn't get as a keychain as a promotional thing somewhere. Holding a like chained dangling light that I have in my living room here, chained just a couple more notches up, so if I go to swing something violently, I don't hurt myself or that light. So I was able to get that headset cheaply on a refurbished deal. Refurbished in technology sometimes just means somebody opened the box, didn't like it, and sent it back, but they have to process it.
That's why I buy everything from Best Buy, and that's the pro tip right there when you're buying Apple Watches and iPads from Best Buy and laptops. Buy refurbished because either they're a floor model, which the stores keep them in great shape, or somebody opened it, didn't want it, and returned it. So yeah, good tip there, Sam.
So yeah, definitely shop refurbished. Now look out, I will say as we're talking refurbished talk, C-grade quality stuff maybe avoid because that's like everything that's been banged around and they're like, oh, it works, but like the upper right side of the bezel's cracked or something. You're like, maybe not the longevity of it, especially if you're going to use it rough.
They're like, it works, wink.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, this thing normally costs $500 and now it's $75. It works.
it reminds me of when I worked at Best Buy in like 22 years ago, I think 96, 97 era.
No, that's not real. That's not, Yeah. 97 is not 22.
You mean Circuit City at that time.
Yep. It's like 40 years ago. Anyways, I was working there and it was very commonplace. I worked in the media area, so I was like selling PlayStation 1 games and you know, GameCube games. But we had the guys in the warehouse. We had a they had a deal going with the floor guys who were the like selling TV and appliances, that if one of their buddies came in and they wanted to get a specific TV, they'd let the guys in the back know, and then you just hear a loud crash, and it's basically them just dropping the specific TV box that they wanted, really just damaging like the corners of the box. Because once the corners are damaged, like if there were rips or tears in the box, they had to sell that for like refurbished prices. So they were running a racket back there. Everybody knew. They were running a racket where they were literally just damaging the boxes and the selling it to their buddies for like next for like, you know, 20% off, 30% off type of stuff. So there you go. Inside tips. Inside baseball.
Find yourself an inside man at Best Buy that's willing to risk their whole job.
Their whole career, yeah, exactly.
Damn it.
So, I mean, I've been playing a bunch of stuff. And hey, itch.io and stuff like that is your friend because it's free VR stuff and stuff definitely worth experiencing and then donating because that's an option over there. So if you check that stuff out, definitely donate if you're if it's going to be something that you're playing a lot of. But the thing I want to talk specifically about, and I'm sure other podcasts and everybody has talked about it to death, and if they haven't, I'm very disappointed. Beat Saber is incredible. So much so that I'm willing to say that I've never used an Oculus Quest, and apparently you can have Beat Saber on that and sideload custom songs. If you're at all interested in VR and you can float that price... Christ, that is such a good experience. It's So if you've never seen Beat Saber, think Guitar Hero. So notes are coming at you, and you have two swords in your hand, lightsabers, basically. And you have to slash through these blocks that are coming at you to the beat, to like a note pattern, and these blocks have different directions posted on them. So it tells you which direction you're supposed to slash your sword. So if it, you know, is pointing down, slash down. They can do all types of diagonals. And it looks so good. It's very non-intrusive for people that aren't used to VR. You're not, like, the world's not moving around you. You're not moving around escape. You're just stationary. The world you're sitting in is stationary, but these blocks are coming at you. You can set like no fail states and like HUDs off, so you're not looking at points or hearing that you're fucking up or anything like that. It's just like a really good way to experience and play songs. So if you are at all interested in rhythm games, this is now a technically like a choreography simulator in VR, and is can give you a pretty damn good exercise for doing it too. So I just last night purchased it and looked at it and was like, if it's under a gig, I'll buy it tonight just to try it out. Because I'm having people over this weekend. So I wanted to have like a party game, for people to play. And I probably downloaded that game at 11 o'clock at night and probably went to bed at like 3 a.m.
Nice.
Because that game was just so much fun. Yeah, I can't say enough about how good of an experience that is and how like a good case point for VR, where it's something that, yeah, you could probably have done that on the Wii or the Wii U just with Wiimotes and, you know, however, but something about being in that VR and having the headset, you know, blast that song audio at you and just like the confirmation of the controllers vibrating when you're slashing through things. It even like, gives you haptic feedback when you're just touching the sabers, so you can feel like, oh, I'm, you know, them in physical space, and they can run into the blocks and not give you the highest score, yada yada. It's great. And if I think it's coming to PlayStation VR, basically, if you have a way to play it, I would play it. I would find somebody that has VR and try it out. Go to one of those cafes that have VR and that just choose that game and Don't worry if you think you're going to look silly, because you're basically like the color guard in a marching band, like dancing to the songs. But it's great. It's awesome. I would highly recommend playing it.
I have heard so many great things about Beat Saber, from the music aspect, the workout side of things that you mentioned. Everybody keeps talking about how great this game is, and it feels like the kind of game that I've always wanted out of VR. Like, they've had, you know, like Astrobot. Everyone keeps talking about Astrobot. I didn't think it was anything special. Moss was pretty cool. There's been some kind of interesting VR on Rails experiences, but everything that Beat Saber everybody talks about is, it just feels like that's VR's killer app. You know, it puts everything together from the audio side, the visual, the experiential side. I have a PS4. I have the PSVR. It's out for that. But you can't sideload the music, I don't think. So but I could be okay with that. So I'll keep an eye on the pricing. But you got me looking at the Oculus Quest right now. So $399 for the 64 gig version. An extra $100 for the 128 gig version. So, very cool, Sam. Very cool. Welcome to the VR world proper.
I know, it's like adult VR. It's weird, because I feel like, you know, I have no problem with even going to the extent of Nintendo's VR and Labo, because I think for what it is, Nintendo utilizes it very well. You know, they're not trying to pitch something like Beat Saber where it's like, right, oh, it's, you know, like little baby scale, room scale stuff. Like, they're not trying to sell you that. They're trying to sell you, oh, it's, you know, put it on the elephant's face and paint with it, or pretend to be an elephant. Like, and that's totally cool. And I think it plays great. And PC VR is its own different thing. And with Oculus Quest and stuff, I think VR is finally moving into a place where it's not going to be weird that these experiences start hitting with people. Mm-hmm. Where before it was like, oh, this, you know, vacation simulator or job simulator are really fun games. And it's like, if you have a VR headset, then you definitely want it. But I think we're finally entering a phase where it's, oh, this game is incredible. It's something that you need a VR headset for. It's something to consider picking up.
I agree, and Tetris Effect is that way as well. For anybody that's played Tetris Effect, it's pretty damn awesome. Tetris in VR.
Yeah.
Well, cool, dude. Aaron, what have you been playing? Are you bringing Shadows?
No, not really. I bounced off that expansion hard.
Really?
Yeah, man. I got in there, and I got in like early access and everything, and it was like, all right, let's fucking do this. And the first, like, 20 minutes of that game are awesome, because the whole setup is, like, this dude pulls you through time and space to another parallel world. And he's like, you're the greatest warrior and defender of your world, and our world's about to die, so I need you. Like, save us. And it's like, all right, I can get behind this. And then you start rolling around, and it's like, oh, hey, what's up? Go pick me 3 flowers. oh, hey, it's you again. Go kill 2 of these 3 types of animals. Hey, what's up? Hey, I remember you. There's a literal pile of garbage behind my house. Go throw some perfume on it so I don't have to smell it anymore. And I'm just like,
greatest hero of all time.
I'm like, fuck this. And I just haven't played in a couple of days. I've been playing a lot of Teamfight Tactics.
Okay.
Yeah.
EFT.
I bounced off under, like, apparently everybody. I bounced off of Dota Underlords really hard, and I've been playing a lot of Teamfight Tactics, and I'm getting I'm okay at it. I'm at the point now where I'm complaining about RNG when I don't win, so I'm probably somewhere in the middle of the pack.
Now, that's not available on mobile, correct?
No, as of right now, because they built it into the League of Legends client.
Gotcha.
Is that open to all League players now, or is it still okay?
Yep, it was in like quote unquote open beta for a week, and there was some weird restriction where every account for League of Legends has something called an honor level, and I don't know how it goes up, but I think it goes up from getting like commendations in from matches. and you had to be honor level 3 to play in the open beta, and I'm only honor level 2. So I couldn't play in it, but now it's open to everybody. You just go in, it's right there. They got a big banner, and they got like weekly challenges, and it's microtransacting out the ass.
Wow.
Like the game, you want to play the game, you get in there and play that game, and you don't pay money's not going to help you do anything like that, but they got like just cosmetics and like little, your little character that doesn't do anything except you walk them around and like you know, you can hit the buttons to make them like squeak. And mm-hmm. they level up. And if you want to level them up, it works just like these games. So you need, I think you need like 3 1-star of the same character to level it up to level 2. And then you need 3 2-star characters to level it up to level 3. And I think level 3 is the max. And I think they're like $10 a pop. And they might be blind box. I'm not sure. But I think the math out there is that you're looking at between $100 and $150 to get one of those to 3-star. They don't do anything. It doesn't matter. They are unimportant. But, I don't know. That game's fun. I wish it was balanced better. You can kind of predict whether or not you're going to win or lose based on the first 3 rounds. Because the first 3 rounds are item rounds. You fight just neutral monsters before you start fighting other players. And the items that they do or don't drop are, it's completely random. So you'll have people who get like 4 of the best items from those 3 rounds, and they can just like fucking snowball out the gate and never lose a fight. And then you'll have somebody who gets no items or an item, and it's just like, well, I just don't have the items. I can't catch up to that, so I'm not going to win. But when it works, it's really fun.
I have yet to play one, but I think I'm not going to make any promises. Who knows if I'll fucking get around it. I want to. I totally want to play it.
The hard part about that is that it's like, oh yeah, I'm totally going to play that free mod to a game a free game that I don't play. I'm definitely going to play that before I play any of these other games I paid money for. But those are the 2 things I've been playing. I'm probably going to go back to Shadowbringers. I hit a dungeon. Mm-hmm. I hit a dungeon, and they added this system in called the Trust System, which I don't know why they called it that, because I don't care. Mm-hmm. But it basically lets you run dungeons with AI companions instead of waiting for like actual players. So I was like, all right, let's do this. So I bang, 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 3 control or 3 characters, and they do their own thing. I play a healer, so I just walk behind them as they hit things. They reduce the difficulty of every class in that game. So my class right now can't really DPS. And so basically I'm pressing 1 button every now and again to keep people healed and can't really do anything else. And it took me like 40 minutes to get through that dungeon. And then at the very last boss, I died and none of the AI characters can resurrect. So I immediately got dumped back to the entrance and I was like, nah, fuck this, and turned it off, and I haven't played since. But, I don't know. Teamfight Tactics, man. It's addictive.
Teamfight Tactics.
And that's what I've been playing. That's everything.
Excellent.
I've been playing.
Excellent. We've got a couple minutes. There isn't a ton of news. news.
Slow news week.
Yeah, very slow news week. I mean, obviously, it's right before the holiday in the U.S., and we, as people are still recovering from E3. I'm guessing stuff will start to pick up middle of July as the March to, like, Gamescom starts to happen and the fall season. And Gamescom's, like, usually at the beginning of August, right, somewhere on there. But I will mention one thing. The Cuphead DLC, the Delicious Last Course, which was showcased, was it at Microsoft's press conference at E3? Has been delayed to 2020. So I think, like, was it like 2 weeks after it was announced, it was delayed to 2020. That's a thing. That's kind of a bummer if you wanted some extra Cuphead, but that won't be happening for a while. The Alan Wake publishing rights to the Alan Wake series have finally reverted back to Remedy Entertainment.
I did see that, and that was cool because they released a statement about it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only thing they really said was, well, that just means we can put it on a bunch of different platforms now. So,
yep.
Sweet.
I can see. So one thing that's interesting is there was
talk recently.
Yeah, actually, dude, Alan Wake on Switch would be fucking awesome. But there have been some conversations or rumors that Sony is looking to do some of their own acquisitions to kind of balance out what Microsoft did recently. And Remedy would be kind of a perfect fit for them, I guess, in a way. So
There's a side story to this, isn't there? I don't know if you have it over there.
No, I don't have it up here.
I don't know if it's been confirmed, but there was a rumor that came out yesterday, today, that Sony is currently placing bids to try and buy Remedy.
That's what it was, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, so we'll see if that actually happens, but...
Deals for every platform for Alan Wake before you sell yourself to Sony. Yeah,
exactly right, exactly right. Other than that, I can't, you know, there really isn't a lot. I'm flipping through our news. There's a Final Fantasy 14 live action TV series coming at some point.
Everybody thinks it's going to be about 1.0.
Yeah, exactly.
Which honestly might be cool because 1.0 ends with maybe the coolest event in a video game ever.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's it. That's the only news bites I got.
Yeah, I didn't really have anything else.
There's nothing. I
went through and looked, and it was just like, well.
Well, you were dying too. You know, your feet were about to explode.
There was that. You want to see him? Are we on Twitch or are we on YouTube?
Totally fine. We're on YouTube. We do have to switch pretty soon. So, for those of you who are watching us on the old YouTube live,
I had to ask because I don't think YouTube has no feet guidelines, but Twitch absolutely does.
Twitch has no feet guidelines. Holy shit! Yeah, we're going to be switching some things around with our live streams and trying to figure out how we go forward because...
Oh, I'm rolling back.
What does that mean? It's going to cover up the entire screen.
I can't get my feet up that high. I'm not YouTube that flexible.
YouTube changing. Google's getting rid of the YouTube kind of group hangout stuff, so which is a bummer. So we'll have to figure out how to go forward.
There was that interview, the Stadia interview with GameSpot, I think it was, where he was like, "Yeah, I don't think bandwidth caps are going to be a concern."
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, that'll be fine. You'll be okay.
It's like fuck off, dude. They're going to be a concern, and you're going to drop Stadia within a year because nobody's going to buy in because they have bandwidth caps.
That's exactly what Google does, right? They'll throw something out there; it'll be in beta, like Stadia, like they've announced Stadia will be in sort of a beta for.
I was thinking about it the other day because I made this argument to somebody and they were like, well, yeah, but Google does that with like mostly software, like mostly projects. And I was like, I thought about it. I was like, well, that's true. And then I was like, well, no, it isn't because they did that with Google Fiber and they did that with Google Glass.
Yep.
So.
Yep. You're right. You're right.
Fuck Google.
Fuck Google. No, but not really. If you want to pay for the site, that'd be totally cool.
Yeah, if you want to pay for the site, I will absolutely shill Stadia.
We will. Yeah, it's
my favorite console of all time if you pay me.
Yeah, there you go. See, we're calling it the Ouya for a new generation.
It's not a console, man.
It's not a console. It's a controller attached to any device you want to get.
It's an idea.
If they want the proper terminology.
It's a literal dream web is what they're trying to spin you. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of spinning webs, go see Spider-Man. That was really good. I saw... The Avengers Endgame.
What was the extra footage?
I'll go ahead and spoil it. Show's over. I'm at Dolly Domofsky. That's at Sam. He's not even on Twitter. Who cares?
No, look for me.
At Scratty Bones all over the place. Sidequesting.com. At Sidequesting on the Twitter. Sidequesting TV.
Is there a maple leaf on this hat?
There is a tiny little maple leaf on that. Happy Canada Day. Happy Independence Day, America.
Happy Bastille Day.
Happy Bastille Day, Canada.
I'm going to Google when Bastille Day is.
There you go.
July 14th.
Oh, perfect. So we're right there.
Happy Bastille Day.
Good. That's everybody good? We're going to do a little bit super quick spoilers for the new stuff at the end of Endgame. If you don't want to hear it, log off now. We're going to count down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 blank. There's no like. It's a really shitty deleted like Hulk scene.
I like Hulk.
It's not. not
I like good. Hulk.
It's it's basically just like Hulk being the Hulk. I guess like the lead up to when they bump into him as Professor Hulk in the diner. So it's
one liner probably.
There's like a slight one liner. But that's about it, and it's like the bad. It's like the pre CGI, the pre final CGI stuff. So it looks like the Hulk in the Avengers game that Square showed off. I think that's the level of visual quality. So that was like the deleted scene. The extra scene, post credit scene, was actually the opening minutes of Spider-Man Far From Home, where they we meet Mysterio for the first time. So go check that out. Then they had a new. Go ahead. What was that?
I was just gonna say I didn't like the first Spider-Man.
You didn't like the first
Spider-Man? I like that dude as Spider-Man. I like the dude who played Vulture. I didn't like anything else in that movie. I found that movie like I was just sitting there like ugh, like I don't like this. There's that whole scene where they're driving in the car to the prom or whatever, and they're having that he knows it's Spider-Man, I'm pretty sure, and Spider-Man knows he's Vulture, but they're having like the weird like you're dating my daughter conversation.
What I really liked about that is it was a teen movie, and Far From Home is a teen movie that just happens to be a superhero movie as well. I think they're genre wise they're doing a pretty good job of it. But so that they showed that as one of the scenes. Then the two other things they have, and they actually had four things going on, which was kind of cool. One was kind of a new closeout mini tribute to all the different characters. So they showed like the actors in costume as each of the heroes they play. So you have Chris Evans as Cap, you have Hemsworth as Thor, and then it goes through everybody, like every major actor that's been a hero or villain in a lot of these as well, or like a major featured character. They name everybody, and then they end with Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. That was kind of cool. So it's just like this little visual aesthetic thing. And then finally, the last thing that they had, I think it was before the Spider-Man Far From Home thing, was the like a tribute to Stan Lee. So it was just cool it was a little bit of a tearjerker. But it was a cool tribute to Stan Lee. I bought tickets. I didn't want to sit through the whole movie all over again because I've seen it plenty of times. So I bought tickets for like a 2:30 showing, and I left my office at 4, and I got to the theater at like 4:30. And I missed like 2 hours of it, but caught that last hour and the extras, and it was perfect. Because it was just as the heroes were, I think they were getting the Soul Stone. So, sorry, spoilers for Endgame, Black Widow dies. So as she dies and they come back with the Soul Stone, and it was cool because apparently some people hadn't seen this movie because they were hooting and hollering when Cap grabbed the, got Mjolnir. So people lost their fucking minds in the theater. I'm like, that was kind of cool to see all over again. So
I'm going to throw this out there. I'm not going to go see it because that's not how I do movies. If I were to go see it in theater again, that point that I talked about forever ago when Cap's standing there and he's all exhausted and then the portals start opening, I bet I'd get a little misty-eyed again.
I got misty-eyed at that point again. It was the fourth time I saw it. It's like, you think, shit, this is like 10 years of Marvel in that moment. And then when he yells, Avengers Assemble, like, it's just goosebumps. It was so good, so good. Chris Evans for president. But yeah, that's all that was. And then, so we saw that. I saw that like in the first part of the day. Then I went home. I changed, and then I went and saw Spider-Man: Far From Home. So it was a good. Spider-Man: Far From Home is the last of this phase of Marvel movies.
Phase three.
It's phase three or phase four.
If it's phase three, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, it's phase three. So Marvel hasn't announced a single film. They haven't officially announced a single film after this. We know they're working on Guardians 3. We know they're working on the Black Widow film.
Black Panther 2.
Black Panther 2 and a couple other things. But they haven't announced anything, and they haven't like talked about where it's going to fit within their, within their plan. So we're going to leave it at that. I won't tell you anything that happens on Spider-Man, but
Who are your top three MCU villains?
Top three MCU villains?
Yeah, your personal picks.
Oh shit. guys, you're throwing me on the spot there.
Yeah.
Hela in Ragnarok was Thanos. I think Thanos, Infinity War Thanos was fantastic because that movie was about him. It wasn't about rest of the Marvel universe. It was about Thanos, and Thanos is my favorite bad guy in comic books because he's just oddly, there are some parts of him that are oddly like human, like more human than he should be. So I like Thanos, probably number one. Hela.
They tried to make him a human in the comics at one point.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I liked Hela in the MCU because she was just a badass, crazy you know, crazy war criminal type of person. And then, weirdly, the Mandarin I thought was fantastic just because it's just like
specifically Ben Kingsley.
Specifically Ben Kingsley, because yep. He's so well done. So, yep. He does that so perfectly. I remember all the drama because he wasn't Asian when they were casting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you find out why in this film, and it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Marvel knows what they're doing when it comes to casting for these films, and they do it again in Far From Home, because they throw a couple big twists in there.
What about you, Sam? Top three.
I think Loki's very good, but I mean,
yeah, he's become sort of a good guy though.
Yeah, I was gonna say like Wink, he's not really a bad guy, but he is, yada yada. I think Tony Stark is a really good villain in that series. And then also probably Groot. He's a whiny teen and throws a wrench and everything. Yeah. He gets somebody killed. Like, he gets like two people killed throughout like that whole series.
Yeah.
So Groot is the greatest villain, and then also Greed. You know, greed is an important thing in there.
Time is the greatest villain. What about you, Aaron? Your top three?
Mandarin, weirdly enough.
Okay.
Killmonger.
Killmonger was good.
And Zemo.
Oh, Zemo, I forgot. Yeah, Zemo was fantastic. Like,
Mandarin I liked just because I thought that whole setup was incredible.
Yeah, it was.
Like, he's not even a villain. He's just a dude in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Like, he's an actor.
He made that movie worthwhile.
Totally. But
I didn't like that movie.
I like Zemo and Killmonger for essentially the same reason, in that they're just two dudes. They're not an alien with these universal, like, power gems. Like, they're not the goddess of death. They're not. Like a global AI evil robot with millions of clones. Like, Zemo's just a dude.
I'm gonna change my Hela to Zemo, because
Zemo's just a dude whose family got killed.
Or Civil War. That's what he was in, right? Civil War.
Yeah,
that was. Yeah, Zemo is just a dude whose family got killed, and it's morbid. There are scenes like he's literally murdering people in a hotel room.
He's his first scene. He's murdering a Hydra dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, he's awesome, and he's got no powers.
Yeah, and he doesn't wear like the Zemo mask or anything like that from the comics, which is cool.
No, he's just a dude whose family got killed because of the Avengers, and he essentially succeeds.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a dude, and he comes up with a plan, and he falls through. Right. He saves the world. He kills a bunch of Hydra people. He essentially saves the world from what they think the real threat is. He kills all the other Winter Soldiers.
I'm changing my Hela pick to Zemo. Yeah, I forgot about him.
And okay. Killmonger's the same way too. He's just a dude whose fucking dad got killed by these people, and he's like, "All right, I'm going to spend my life getting ready to fuck them over." That's awesome.
I like the human threats. I think the thing with the MCU is that when it goes cosmic, it tends to just kind of get unbelievable, and it becomes almost like farcical in a weird way. I like when they're very human, very believable threats. Because you can, in a weird way, I can see myself saying, if I had all the money in the world, I could pull that off. Or if I had the drive, I could be that evil or that good. I think those are the Marvel films that I like. And oddly enough, Far From Home, in a weird way, is like that too. I mean, you got giant elemental monsters in there, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, I could.
I want the camera to turn off because I want to ask a question about Far From Home.
Okay,
I don't want spoilers.
But, yeah, and I'll wait for Sam to leave, and then I'll let you go as soon as I have the answer to this one question. Bye,
everybody.
I'm dying to know. Bye. See you next week.
Bye, friend.
I probably won't be wearing the hat next week.
Charges kill my head.